A Prairie Home Companion is brought to you by Yoplait. With 72% of adults not getting enough calcium, Yoplait is the yogurt with calcium and vitamin D in every cup. Products, recipes, and health information is online at Yoplait.com.
Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown.
It's gotten very cold there this last week. Temperature's been highs in the 20s. It was cold, bitterly cold weather. It's the kind of weather that we're used to. Northern lights have been so beautiful, these tongues of green with tips of orange at night. And you wake up in the morning and you feel needed in the world. We're needed in this kind of weather. That's the beauty of winter. It concentrates your mind. Carl Krebsbach down on the Chatterbox Cafe, people sitting around and talking quietly, and Carl Krebsbach gets up and he puts on his parka and he goes outside and he gets the keys to his pickup truck, and then he notices this car that's parked out there in front of the Chatterbox Cafe. It's this young couple, and they were sitting at the counter and eating breakfast 10 minutes ago, and then they left. And she's got a cell phone in her hand, and she rolls down the window and she says, "Is there a service station near here?" Well, if she looked off to her right, she'd see it over there. Krebsbach Chev, it's over there. But he says, "What's wrong?" She says, "Well, my car won't start. I think I left my lights on when I was in the cafe." He said, "Well, open up the hood." There's a man sitting next to her in the passenger seat who seems to be related to her, but who is trying to be invisible, who is trying to look as if none of this is happening and he is not there. She says, "How do I do that?" So Carl reaches into the window and he pulls the hood release and it comes up and he opens up the hood of the pickup truck, which is right there parked next to her, and he's got the jumper cables out and hooked up, and he says, "Start your car," and she turns it over and it starts right away. That's what winter is for. It's to give northern people that sense of moral superiority that we want to have. There are all of these slackers in the world and all of these navel gazers and people who just aren't paying attention. And we worry sometimes that we may become one of them. And then there you are. You walk out. "These people need your help." She offered him a $20 bill. He said, "No, no, no." He said, "My pleasure." She said, "Please, take it." He waved at her. He just got in the pickup and went away. If he had accepted the money from her, then it would have become a transaction. And they would have been more or less equal, don't you see? By not accepting money, he preserved his moral superiority. Here are two people in a car, in weather they don't know how to deal with, in a car they don't know how to operate, and a little crisis just throws them into confusion. And here's a man who solves it in a minute and a half. Which would you rather be? Well, Krebsbach Chev has changed its gas pumps now, which is a crisis in our town. Any little change is a crisis in our town. They've gotten rid of those old gas pumps that went clickety-clack because the price per gallon would not go above $1. And so Ronnie was having to do a lot of multiplication back there. So they got these digital ones, and as long as they were getting those, they get the kind that the credit card goes in. So now you can get gas anytime, 7 days a week. You know, she'd wake up 3 a.m. on Sunday morning and think, "You know, I better get that thing filled up." Then you go down to Krebsbach Chev. But it's a big change for people, knowing that no more in this life will you pull in there and have Ronnie come out and lean down and say, "What can I do you for today?" He's always said that for years and years, and his dad before him. "What can I do you for today?" We'll never hear that ever again. These little things make us sad in Lake Wobegon. Up at the Lutheran Church, they tried out the red hymnal for the first time. And they hated it. They just absolutely hated it. It was an experiment, Pastor Inquist said. What kind of experiment was this? A cruel experiment. They sang some unfamiliar hymns from it. All of them bad, just lousy music. It was as if a whole committee of music directors met and said, well, what, this isn't good enough, all this Bach and all this John Wesley and Schubert and so forth. We've got to get some new people in there. It's like you would go to the Louvre and put up some slides you took of your uncle. Old people sat and they sang, tried to sing, songs that you could not sing in four-part harmony, which Lutherans are good at. Harmony was defeated by this music. They thought, you know, maybe we've lived too long. When Lutherans can no longer sing in four-part harmony, and our children sit for hours and hours constructing these monuments to themselves on their websites, on computers. Presidential libraries have nothing over the websites of teenage children just for sheer self-fascination and celebration. Maybe we've lived too long. Maybe it's time to get off the train. I think back to St. Louis when I'm confused. St. Louis was the first city that my parents let me go to on my own. I grew up sanctified brethren. We were the people who put the fun into fundamentalism. We were people who believed in the literal interpretation of Scripture, and we believed in separation principles, separation from the rest of the world so as to preserve yourself from contamination. 13 years old, 1955, they sent me down to St. Louis on the train because there was a young people's Bible conference down here. They had no idea what they were doing. They just did it in pure faith. It was one of the great experiences of my life to get off on my own, even though they put a Sunday school pin on me so that people of the world would know that I was the Lord's and not tamper with this. And even though they arranged for a sanctified brethren family to meet me at the station here in St. Louis, nonetheless, I had to get off the train in Chicago and switch. And there I was, just me, myself alone, mingled with all of these people whom I had formerly held at arm's length or seen at a great distance, not been allowed to be among. I got off the train in St. Louis, and I inhaled this steam, this great crowd of people. I took my time going outside to where the car was waiting. Those brethren were out there. I could see them. They were wearing their black brethren suits and their narrow black ties and their short hair. They were waving to me. I took my time. I pretended to be lost. I've been pretending to be lost ever since. A man walked up and he asked me if I wanted to see his dog do a trick. He had a little dog. It was a little spotted dog. The dog did a backflip. I'd never seen that before. I gave him a dime, which was quite a bit back in 1955 for a 13-year-old kid to give a dime to somebody. Women, smells of women and men, cigars, cigarettes, strange smells, liquor and beer. It was beautiful. I loved being in that crowd. I've loved being in that crowd ever since, all the rest of my life. Love being in this crowd, too. All of the black people I saw in that crowd in St. Louis, I'd never seen so many before. And there they were. We were all together in a crowd. Martin Luther King Jr. said, if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep the streets as Michelangelo painted, as Beethoven composed, as Shakespeare wrote poetry, so that when the powers of heaven and earth look down, they will say, here is a man who is called to be a great street sweeper. My parents believed in the very same thing. They believed in the same thing as Martin Luther King did. They didn't know it, but they did. Something that transcends race, more powerful than race, to work. The transformative power of work and to be tight in a crowd with other people. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all the children are above average.